A guaranteed miracle. It's what we all want. So a couple nights ago, I was watching TV with my family and a commercial for Cold Ease came on. Like Zicam, the product is marketed as a cure for the common cold and is, as the commercial claims, scientifically proven to shorten the duration of your illness. Toward the end of the commercial, the CEO of the company came on the screen, and as I listened to him talk about the product, I heard him say that it was a guaranteed miracle. A guaranteed miracle that I wish I had had a couple weeks ago when I literally laid in bed for several days with the worst cold I have had in years. A guaranteed miracle, something that we all want, particularly when we aren't well or when not all is well with the world. And I think it's actually partially why we are here tonight. Why we are gathered in a warm sanctuary surrounded by the soft glow of the lights on the tree and the candles on the altar, eagerly singing familiar Christmas hymns and watching for the birth of the Christ child. We're looking for something, somebody to save us from the darkness of unemployment, cancer, exhaustion, the weariness of uncertainty. So we come here tonight looking for what we hope will be a guaranteed miracle. Looking for it in the glory and the splendor of Christmas. We come expecting to hear about the extraordinary circumstances of Jesus' birth, how he was born to a virgin, and then the angels who announce his birth to Mary. The angels who then come to the shepherds in the middle of the night and tell them that they will find a baby in Bethlehem. Stars and signs for those who see, and the songs of the multitudes of angels for those who hear. We come longing for the miracle of Jesus' birth. And it appears that Luke is ready to give what we want to us. His account starts with a grand flourish, setting the stage with a cast of highly important figures, saying, "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria." Already we have the emperor and the governor. And then all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem. Because he was descended from the house and family of David, he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. With news that everyone should be registered, decreed by the emperor himself, we expect something big to come next. And then we read the next two verses. "While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Where's the fanfare? Where are the reports of the animals all gathered around the manger looking on in awe as the baby is born that night? Where's the chorus of angels that some of us have come to expect, lending their voices to such a heavenly moment as Jesus is born? Where is the miracle that we have come to expect? It seems that instead of all these things, the actual account of Jesus' birth is quite ordinary. Very simple. No great songs to announce the moment. No throngs of people or animals gathered at the manger to welcome their creator into the world. No miracles. Those that are guaranteed, at least. These are very ordinary people, detailed in a very ordinary account of an ordinary baby boy. As if it could have been any other baby born that night. Though it seems to me that is the Christmas miracle. That God chooses to work in the midst of the ordinary, using people and circumstances that we would deem unfitting for a God. for such a great God. The miracle is that God doesn't need a miracle to work in this world. That the extraordinary is the ordinary. That an ordinary man and an ordinary woman could give birth to an ordinary baby and then lay him in an ordinary manger. And yet it is all still very extraordinary. Because it is an extraordinary God breaking into an ordinary world, claiming it for God's self. The ordinary and the extraordinary, the plain and the elaborate, the common and the particular. An ordinary baby is born this night who is the hope for the whole world. And it is in his birth that we encounter the miracle we have been waiting for. A miracle guaranteed by a God who keeps every promise that God makes. And our Christmas miracle comes in the ordinary decisions of our lives. The humdrum, the routine, and the commonplace events. Because we have a God who casts ordinary people like Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, those who do not dazzle the world, as leads in the drama of the kingdom of God. Instead, choosing even those of us who wonder if we make a difference. Those of us who are frustrated by our seemingly inability to create positive change in our families and our lives. You are precisely the kind of people an extraordinary God employs for service in the kingdom. Ordinary people gathered together tonight for the birth of a baby. Ordinary people who do miracles every day. You choose to make a run to Target a day, 2 days before Christmas, so that one more refugee, one more homeless person has a soft place to lay her head this night. You who show up in hospital rooms to sit with a friend and his family after an unexpected surgery. Mothers and fathers who work two jobs so that their kids can eat and go to school. Adults who spend time mentoring kids who may not have positive relationships with their parents or any other adult. Ordinary people who bear witness that God has come to be with us in the midst of the darkness. Reflecting the light of God here in this place on an ordinary night. It is when we come to realize that God has never really left us at all. That God is God Emmanuel, that is God with us. On that first Christmas night, God with us, and also tonight, on this night that we call Night of All Nights. The ordinary is the extraordinary now and always because a baby bearing Christ's face is born.